And actually, my heart is there. I have to go there. And with your kind permission and your senior God brother, actually, he's Prabhupada's disciple, so with his permission, I would like to start and stop at 2 o'clock so that those who want to have prasadam can finish the prasadam and then reach before 4 o'clock at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Is that all right with you? Okay. So we dedicate today's class to Achyuta Jagannath Prabhuji, and let us offer our heartfelt condolences to his wonderful family. His wife, that is Gaurang Prabhu's mother, is also there.
Has she also taken initiation? She's taken, no?
She also recently took initiation. So let us offer our prayers in the traditional Vaishnava manner of offering kirtan. Because by kirtan, we invoke the attention of Lord, and kirtan is something which is beloved to Lord Krishna. The last shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, anybody remembers? The last shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranama Dukha Samanas Tannam Mami Harimparam. So, after that, Vedvyasji wrote nothing more, because that summarizes the full and final statement he wanted to make. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. By the congressional chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam, all our impious activities are burnt. Sarva Papa Pranashanam. Pranash means nothing residue left, not even ashes. Namasam Kirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranama Dukha Samanas. And any misery, dukkha, are also destroyed totally. Namasam Kirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranama Dukha Samanas Tanna Mami Harimparam. And that is how you achieve the final goal of life, of going home back to Godhead at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, which are not different. I only request that all devotees please shut off their mobiles or leave them outside. Thank you. A very, very good class, Bhagavatam class, with very, very sweet nectarian memories of Srila Prabhupada. It was one of the best classes I've heard. And thanks to Leela Anand Prabhuji from Brazil originally. So from the other end of the world, as you all know, in the Ramayana it is mentioned that Ravan had sent his brother Kumbhakarna to get all the gold. And that is how Lanka became a golden city, because gold was taken from Brazil. Did you know that, Prabhuji? Brazil Poor. Okay. I didn't know it was called Brazil Poor. So today we are going to give a shorter class now because it's abbreviated. But I think you will have to tolerate me less on a very wonderful subject. I would suggest, Mataji, if you can move your children to that room. Is it possible? Bacche log hain, unko ye छोटे रूम में ले जाइए, बाजू के रूम में, क्योंकि फिर दूसरे को डिस्टर्ब ना हो जाए. सो यू ऑल नो दैट द भागवत गीता इज इन द मिडिल पोर्शन ऑफ द महाभारत. द भागवत गीता इज कंपोज ऑफ 700 श्लोक्स. भागवत गीता टुडे एंजॉयज over 2,000 different translations. Prabhuji, upar jaiye koi, aur ye bacche log ko niche le jaiye. Chup raho wahan. There are 2,000 varieties of Bhagavad Gita in various languages, of which, to my last count, more than 45 were translated by our own devotees in ISKCON, which has the largest single circulation. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, after the Holy Bible, and there's a question mark about how many Quran circulation, the known Bhagavad Gita circulation is the largest single circulation, second largest single circulation in the world after Holy Bible. But unfortunately, or for reasons unknown, the Uddhav Gita, the other Gita, mentioned in this wonderful book by a friend of mine called Satyaraj Prabhu, whom you all met in December. He has written just now this new book, Krishna's Other Song, the Uddhav Gita. Now, this Uddhav Gita appears in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, from chapter number 7 to chapter number 29, means there are 22 chapters. It is composed of 1,030 shlokas. Bhagavad Gita has how many? 700 shlokas. And this is 1,030 shlokas. Bhagavad Gita basically is like what we call in India a bachelor's degree, BA, Bachelor of Art or Bachelor of Science, bachelor's degree. Bhagavatam is like the master's degree. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the PhD thesis. So, today we are going to discuss, of course briefly now, about this Uddhav Gita. As you know, we do have classes here on Bhagavad Gita, which lasts for 5 days, given by such illustrious devotees like Radha Gopinath Prabhuji or Gaurang Prabhuji and so on. So this Uddhav Gita will therefore take at least 7 to 10 days. But we are trying to now give you the highlights, the sar or the tattva, the main substance of Uddhav Gita, I will give today. And I leave it to you to refer to the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter number 7, it starts. And please read this very carefully. So, the central word, we must always see the central thesis or the most important word of the Bhagavad Gita. The central point of Bhagavad Gita of Lord Krishna is one word. Does anybody know that one word? Tell me. Anybody? Surrender. Correct. Sarva dharma parityagam mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksasami masuchah. Sarva dharma parityagam. Surrender all, give up all types of so-called quote-unquote religious positions or activities you have. And simply surrender unto me. I guarantee you, it's better than a bank guarantee or an insurance guarantee. It's Krishna's guarantee. Krishna gives a guarantee. I guarantee you, assure you, that if you do that, sarva dharma parityagam mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo, I remove all your miseries and bad impious activities. Sarva papa sarva dharma parityagam mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksasyami masocha, and you will certainly come back home, back to Godhead, to me. Of course, when Krishna used the word moksha, it is not the same as a Mayavadi used the word moksha. Because having been a Mayavadi, I know what are the various connotations of the word moksha. There, in Mayavad philosophy, moksha means entering into Brahman. They are under the wrong impression. They are under the wrong impression that moksha means Krishna's holy dham. No. Moksha in Mayavad philosophy is referring to Brahman, the jyoti, the effulgence of Lord Krishna. So, we are actually speaking energy, jivatma, and Brahman is also energy, the radiation of Lord Krishna. So, the Mayavadis say, just like the river water merges into the ocean, we will also merge into that. But that's not true. Because Lord Krishna himself tells in Bhagavad Gita to Arjun that there was never a time when you did not exist. I, nor any of these kings and others who are fighting in Kurukshetra. and never there shall be in future also a time when we shall not exist. Therefore, there is no question of merging. Merging takes place in this material world between two companies. That's the only place where there is merging. And we don't call it in my business language, we call it merging. Somewhat like murdering. So, there is no difference between merging and murdering. So, it is actually a spiritual suicide or murder. So, that is not acceptable at all. So, the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is, how do you surrender to Lord Krishna? And he says, this is the benefits you will get if you surrender unto me. Now we come to a more elevated platform. Now what is this next platform we are coming to? What is the root of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Janmadyasya tunvajayadi taratashartesva vignasvarat tene brahmrdaya adikave muyamti yatsuraya tejo vari mrudam yatha milimayo yatra trisargromusha dhamna svena sadani rasta kuvakam satyam param dhimahi. Dharma projita kaitravota paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavamatra vastra shivadam tapatra yomulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunim krute kimva prayeshwara shadyo ruddhi varudhya tietra putibir shushut shubhit tachanat nigama kalpataror galitam falam shukhamukhadamruta drava sayutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraso rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. So, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is only one, to give you ultimate happiness. That is the main purpose. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed by a Brahmana's son. Of course, badly or falsely cursed, but we won't go into that. But the fact is he was. But he was seeking eternal happiness. What comes in this material world? Temporary happiness. We know that because in the Bhagavatam itself there is a very wonderful story about Chitraketu Maharaj. His son's name was Sokharsh. First there is misery, then there is harsh happiness, and sometimes there is harsh and then there is shok. So it is like a cycle of day and night in this world. But if you have eternal happiness, that is what this Uddhav Gita teaches. And that is what Lord Krishna taught Uddhav. Why? Uddhav came to know, he was after all a very, very wonderful and great devotee, Lord Krishna's cousin. He nearly looked like Krishna actually. Even the gopis of Vrindavan for a moment in the beginning were confused whether Krishna has come back or whether there is somebody who looks very similar to Krishna. He was his cousin brother. He was actually a disciple of a great, great teacher. Anybody remember who was? Brahaspati, exactly. Now, Brahaspati taught him everything, but yet he was not fully happy. Why? Because Brahaspati is the spiritual master and teachers of the demigods. Okay. So, he was teaching him what he was teaching the demigods. No, but demigods means, it's like, you know, our going to a 5-star or a 7-star hotel in Dubai. After all, you will have to then come back again, isn't it? Back to India. Because your visa will expire, your money will finish. So they charge you $10,000 a night. So it's not an easy or cheap place, you follow. So it's difficult to continue there. So the Swargaloka, demigods, heavenly planets are also like not much different from these 5-star hotels. You follow? You get temporary happiness. So here, Uddhavji wanted permanent happiness. So he told Krishna, I won't allow you to go. Krishna says, Baba, mera kaam ho gaya hai. I finished my work here. 125 years I have spent here. Brahma, Shiva, all the great demigods told Lord Krishna, thank you very much, we appreciate. They were grateful to him because Krishna reduced the burden of the earth. What did he say in Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, that why was he born? Why did Krishna appear here? You remember? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tatvata tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. Paritranayam sadhunam vinashaya duskritam. You remember? Paritranayam sadhunam. And then killing all the demonic people. So, I finished that job. I pleased all the sadhus and I pleased also, he was equal, you know, by killing the demons also got pleased in the process. How? Because, take for instance, the man who was giving him galis, bad words, 101 times he heard it. You see? From whom? From his own another cousin, not this one, the other one. Anybody remember? Shishupal. Wonderful. I've got a beautiful audience today. Unfortunate, I have to leave at 2. So, Shishupal was born with 4 hands. Because in his previous life, he wanted to be like Krishna only. Means Vishnu, 4-handed. So whatever was his last desire, he got. But his mentality was of a demoniac nature. So he was of a split personality. He was like a schizophrenic. This man, Shishupal, was a schizophrenic. He wanted to be like Krishna or look like Vishnu externally. But internally, he was demoniac. So his mother, means Krishna's aunt, realized that this Krishna as a child, little baby comes in to see this Uddhav. Not Uddhav, sorry, this Shishupal. And Shishupal's 2 hands drop off. Now, one great astrologer had told the mother that when this son of yours, who's born with 4 hands, when his enemy comes who will kill him, his 2 hands will drop off. So his mother realized that this my own nephew is going to kill my son eventually. So she begged of baby Krishna. Can you imagine a mother, aunt that too, was begging a little child Krishna that please don't kill my son. So Krishna said, no, I have not come to kill your son. I have come to meet my cousin brother. Yeah, I know all about that. But actually somebody has told me that eventually you are going to kill him. Are, even if he gives me 1,000 galis, I won't kill him. 1,000 times he abuses me, I will not kill him. So that is why in that big yagya, Rajasu yagya, you all know, on the 10th canto, Rajasu yagya, 100 times Shishupal kept on blaspheming Krishna. And Krishna patiently listened. But 101st time, he called his Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra is from where? From Viveshwan gave a gift to Krishna, that this is the ultimate weapon, something like a hydrogen bomb is today in this material world. But actually, even if the hydrogen bomb falls on your head, I am told, you are not going to die. So you are happy. Let there be an atom bomb fall on Bombay also, a hydrogen bomb, nobody cares. Because our Jivatma does not mutate. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, the soul cannot be cut. The soul cannot be burned by even hydrogen bomb. The soul cannot be wetted also by floods of water. And most important, the soul will not mutate even by atomic structure. So that way the soul is eternal. Now you are all fearless. Correct? Why does fear come? Let us hear what Uddhav is learning. Uddhav learns from Lord Krishna many lessons. And in this Uddhav Gita, Lord Krishna gives it in a form of stories. In the case of Bhagavad Gita, it was straight philosophy. You see, there were no stories there at all. But here, there are stories which are easily understood, even by a child. And you can remember it also and relish it. Because anything that Lord Krishna says is most nectarian. The first and most important thing about this Uddhav Gita is how to get happiness eternally. That is a central focal point. Just as the focal point of Bhagavad Gita is how to surrender to Krishna. How do you surrender to Krishna? Anybody remembers? Krishna himself tells in Bhagavad Gita. Huh? Yes, always remember me. Surrender unto me. Offer your obeisances to me. Whatever you cook, whatever you do, whatever you earn, offer it to me. That's very nice to say. But bhai, I have got a family at home. If I offer you everything, then what I'll do for myself? That's the next question. So Rupa Goswami solved that problem. Our own Guru Yam Parampara. 50% you give to Krishna. Okay. 50% jo baki raha, what is remaining, 25% you give to your relatives. 25% you keep yourself. This is how this temple has come, actually speaking. This morning he was admiring. So I'm just telling you that was a formula we have implemented here. Because we know that if we implement Rupa Goswami's formula, we become Rupa Nugas, followers of Lord Chaitanya's most important disciple, Rupa Goswami. So here we go. Lord Krishna says that the only way you will get happiness in this material world and in the next world, not only here, we want eternal, right? So you get permanent happiness only by one way, and that is by non-attachment. That is the basic point about this whole Uddhav Gita. Because now I've got only half an hour left. So I've got to give you lots of examples. Because if you study this, it'll be a permanent benefit. Okay? Because if you want permanent happiness, you must have permanent knowledge. And if you have permanent knowledge, you must retain that permanent knowledge. Otherwise, it's not permanent. And only way you can retain is by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So, simply by chanting this Mahamantra, remember, you can retain. It's somewhat like a sponge. The Mahamantra is like a sponge. You see, material sponge, you press it, then the thing goes out again. But if you have the Mahamantra, because it's Krishna, there's no difference between Mahamantra and Krishna. It retains all the good and throws out all the bad from your heart. Who says so? What is the proof? Praman kya hai? Cheto darpanamarjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Shreyak Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Budivardhanam Pratipatam Puranam Ratasvadanam Sarvat Masnapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Correct? Lord Chaitanya says. And who other best authority on earth or heavens or spiritual world or even lower planets? Eternally, this first stanza, first verse of Lord Chaitanya. Because whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to say, he said it in these 8 verses. Sishastakam. And the first one is the most important, of course. Otherwise, he wouldn't have started with that. But it lays a foundation for the second and the third. So here we are. Lord Krishna is saying to Uddhav, and he emphasizes this repeatedly in all 22 chapters, mind you, that if you want eternal happiness, and who doesn't want? Anybody, please raise your hands. Who doesn't want happiness? Let me see. Is there anybody here who doesn't want happiness? Show me your hand. No. Everybody wants happiness. That's why we are here in the first place. You want happiness in something, food. You eat too much of it, indigestion. You want happiness in sex life. What happened to Ajamil? You know what happened. Digya Madhuts came. Unfortunate. Bad situation. If you want happiness in just playing around like a child, not bothering to study anything, become like an old man or woman for that matter, who doesn't have foundation of life, then that person will be born in the next life as an animal. Because if you live like an animal, you'll become an animal in your next life. So what Krishna says, get detached and develop non-attachment. So all the root cause of all your pains. Now remember, people wonder, why am I getting pain and suffering? So Krishna says to Uddhava, the root cause of all your pains and sufferings are your attachments to this material world. Srila Prabhupada gives a beautiful definition of fear. By fear is when we are attached to our bodily concept of life. These are the words of Srila Prabhupada. When we think that we are body and not soul, or we are attached to the body and not the soul, and not attached to the holy name, because In this Uddhava Gita, it is stated, soul of souls is Paramatma. Now, scientifically, I'm going to explain to you. If you examine an atom, there is a nucleus in the center and there are electrons going around. Am I correct? That nucleus may have proton also. Correct? There may be subatomic particles also. Okay? Now we are going to quantum physics and advanced physics. So some of you will understand, some won't. But believe me, I've done that damn subject. So the thing is, at the end of life, you have to understand that you are not this body, you are soul. If you, at the end of your life, are thinking in terms of body, then either you'll get a male body or a female body. Not human being, huh? Male or female cat also. So, but male or a female body you'll get. Of course, there are very, very small percentage of hijras, but that's, we don't count them at the moment. But the fact of the matter is, but what are those poor things? They are thinking that they are female and they are in a male body or the other way around. So that is very small percentage. Because everything is imperfect in this material world, even male and female is imperfect. So that's why they are hijras. So coming back to this, since we don't want to be hijra, we don't want anything to do with this, we have only one object in life, and that is to have eternal happiness. To have eternal happiness, you must get detached from this bodily concept and this material world. This is the root of this whole book on the subject of Uddhava Gita. That's why it is said that it is more advanced than just surrendering. Surrendering means you give up. But then giving up means you have to attach to something, no. Because you may get reattached to the wrong thing again. So you have to go to a higher taste when you give up a lower taste, Prabhupada says. Then Lord Krishna says in this Uddhava Gita that many, many yogis have learned siddhis. Anybody knows what are siddhis? Names? Asita, Vasita, Prakramya, Anima, Lagima, like that. Huh? So there are Ashta siddhis, eight siddhis, right? And there are how many smaller siddhis, do you know? There are 18 small siddhis. Anybody knows these 18 small siddhis? Anyone? One is called Doordarshan. Not TV. Not Indian TV. But Doordarshan, as Sanjay had at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. How does the Bhagavad Gita start? Dharma kshetre kurukshetre samaveta yujutsava mamakaha pandavascheva kimakuruvata Sanjaya. Dhritarashtra is asking, kimakuruvata Sanjaya? What happened there? Because these guys were in Hastinapur, which is now called New Delhi, or Delhi, Old Delhi. So there were a lot of elephants there, so it's called Hasti. Hasti means elephant. Hastinapur. More elephant means bigger the king. So this Dhritarashtra, the blind fellow, he is asking Sanjay, and Sanjay fortunately was a disciple of Vedvyas, no less. Guru Bhai of so many other straight gurus. So he had received this siddhi, but he didn't misuse the siddhi. This is the point. Many of us will get siddhis. Remember that. Automatically it will come. But we should never misuse it. Use it in the service of Krishna. Okay? So, samaveta yuyutsava. Mama kaha pandavase. Look at this fellow. Dhritarashtra says, tell me what happened between Mamaka, my sons, and that fellow's sons, you know. Because actually they are his sons also in one sense. The Pandava have died. No, Pandu Raja had died. So he should not have said, my sons are my sons and Pandava's sons are those fellows. He should not have said like that. In the very first slok of Bhagavad Gita, we can understand how fallen Dhritarashtra is. And then immediately, Sanjay catches that. Sanjay Uvacha. So Sanjay then says, this is what I see in front of me. So this is Doordarshan. Beside Doordarshan, what else? Next. Durshravan. So he listens also. There is no point in, like you mentioned today morning, Charlie Chaplin movie, where you only see and you don't hear. You see, then half the maza is finished. Half the fun is gone. If you have a silent movie or a silent TV, isn't it? So he could hear and he could also see. And most important, he could understand. the discussion between Krishna and Arjuna. This is very, very important. So that is why these siddhis are given to us. Sometimes siddhis will come in the form of windfall profits. Where is my friend Vrindavan? Anand Vrindavan Prabhu is here? No. From our stock exchange. Sometimes there is a huge loss, like in November 2008. The whole world virtually collapsed. And sometimes we get tremendous amount of profits. And then we should use it to build temples like this, of course. So, at this point, Uddhava asked Krishna to list his divine attributes. The next thing is, Uddhava is asking Krishna, after 125 years, his cousin, same age, same everything, same family, he's saying, Krishna, who are you? What are your attributes? At this stage, at the last moment, do you know that Uddhava Gita was spoken in the last night of Krishna? Did you know that? It's like the last supper of Holy Bible. Uddhava Gita is spoken at the last night of Krishna's pastime on this earth. Just imagine. After that, Krishna leaves this earth for good. Okay. So, and that too it is spoken at a place called Prabhaspatan. So, that's near Gujarat, in near Veravel station. So, I had been there. I'll describe that later, maybe if we have time. Now, the important here issue is, Uddhava is saying, what is this opulences you have got, Krishna? So, Krishna says, these opulence are based on absolute truth. Now you understand? Satyam param dhimahi. So, opulence are not based on anything material. It's not that Krishna's beauty is based on some max factor or some pond screen. You see, like in the Indian TVs they show you. First you are like this, then after 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 7th day, you are like a star, film star. Aisa nahi hai. Krishna is born a film star. He is too great. He is too beautiful. To start with only. And even on his last day of his 125 years, he was like a 16-year-old boy. Not this one, some other. So then, because he will go around saying, I pointed out to him. Nayavadi nahi banane ka apne ko. So then he says, he then reiterates that Krishna says, that you must learn from these examples. So we have got now about 18 minutes left. I will give you from this whole big book two major examples, okay? Because as I said, there are 22 chapters. And I'll just read out these chapters. Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, lessons of Pingala, that is coming now. Detachment from all material things, I've already explained a little bit. Nature of self-centered acts. Most of us are acting for our own self-centered acts. Means for our own happiness. At the most, our extended family, or maybe a few friends. Or as Dhirubhai Ammani said, I only work for my shareholders. But now what happened to Dhirubhai? Who knows? Then, how to know whether one is conditioned or liberated? How do you know whether you are liberated or you are conditioned soul? That is also explained by Krishna to Uddhava. What lies beyond renunciation and knowledge? What is beyond renunciation and knowledge? That also Krishna explains. The swan incarnation, Hansa Avatar, and the sons of Brahma. Ah, this is a very nice one. Just for a moment, we'll divert. You see, then we'll come back to the main thing. I learned this morning. Prabhuji, in the morning, would go off a little bit, then he would come back again to the main topic. What happened one day? You know about these four sons of, first four sons. Lord Brahma, right? Sanat, Sanatan, Sanandana, Sanata. These four sons, what did they do? What was their speciality? They had the siddhi to remain child like 5-year-old only. Not to grow older. Why? I must discuss that. Unfortunately, half the audience are women. They didn't want anything to do with women. So a 5-year-old child had nothing much to do with women. You see? They wanted to be eternally like Brahmacharis. But they wanted to be sure that the Brahmachari didn't grow up to be a big Brahmachari. Wanted to be remaining 5-year-old. So they asked Lord Brahma, their own father, you know, certain questions. And Lord Brahma said, sorry, I don't know. I cannot answer you. You see? Because I myself, I am a little confused on that subject. At that time, Lord Brahma says, you better ask Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu then appears as Hansa. And Hansa Avatar then explains to this. And that itself will take me 1 hour. So let's move on. Limitations of yogic perfection. I already mentioned to you that yogic perfections and these siddhis will get you nowhere. Only back to this earth. So you'll make one big circle. You know, these like this Ferris wheel. Somebody goes on in these exhibitions and circuses. You see the huge big round thing. So you start at the bottom. You pay money. You go to the top. And you come back to the bottom. Your money's gone. And sometimes you like to go 4 times. And you pay 4 times. So it's like that only. Then qualities of the Lord. I was talking about that. There are 64 qualities of Lord Krishna. Fortunately for us, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami have explained this beautifully. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So most of you have gone through that. Okay. Then the Varnashram system. 2 chapters are on this Varnashram system. Because what Krishna tells Uddhav, Uddhav is not a sannyasi. So Uddhav is worried now. That your last day declared by you and I'm not even before sannyasi, there is a vanprastha. I've not done that also. So what will happen to me? He's worried. He said, don't worry, Krishna says. Sannyas and vanprastha has nothing to do with going home back to Godhead. More people in grasthi life have gone back to Godhead than sannyasis and vanprasthas. So don't worry about that part. Your consciousness must be the only thing, vehicle, which will travel, the soul will travel on your consciousness. And if your consciousness has a destination, like every train has a destination, no, on top. It says Bombay to Calcutta. He mentioned this morning, going a wonderful train journey, which he never wants to take again, I'm sure. So, there is written Calcutta, no, Gitanjali Express. So your consciousness must be Krishna consciousness. That is your destination. And therefore the soul has only one property. It can ride on your consciousness. And that vehicle is the only vehicle which will carry you back to Krishna's lotus feet. I must be very clear on that subject. Then, perfect spiritual knowledge is explained by Krishna to Uddhav. Loving devotion surpasses karma yoga and jnana yoga. Means bhakti is superior. Why is bhakti superior to karma yoga and jnana yoga? Because Krishna doesn't want your karma yoga. Krishna doesn't want your jnana yoga. He has got enough. He's got more jnana than you can ever think of. But what he wants is love and affection. Now, if he gets your love and affection, then you get his love and affection. It's quid pro quo, as they say in the legal language. You see, what you give to Krishna, that only will come back to you. What's the proof of that? Anybody can give me a proof of that? Prasad. Simple. You eat, supposing, I'm giving you an example, you eat in a restaurant around the corner, it'll not taste the same as what you eat in Govinda's. I guarantee you that. Ingredients are the same. We are bought from the same shop. The wheat and the rice and the dal and the sabjis and whatever we bought, masala. But because everything is offered to Krishna, the mercy of Lord Krishna comes into the prasad. And if you eat that prasad, then your brain substance improves. If you don't eat that prasad, your brain substance deteriorates. If your brain deteriorates, your action deteriorates. What's the proof of that? Simple. Drink alcohol. Pio. Drink alcohol. Finish a bottle of whiskey and see what happens to your brain. You'll become half mad. Isn't it? You'll lose control on everything. Your senses, your walk, your talk. You will have nothing, no control on it. You see? So, Krishna says in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, do not eat even something which is more than 6 hours cooked. Forget about liquids, which are 40-year-old whiskey and 30-year-old whiskey. Actually, I saw on the internet, 100-year-old whiskey is $12,000, one bottle. Pagal aadmi hai. This world is... See, If you want perfection in how to become mad, drink that whiskey, by all means. But then, because it's madness to pay $10,000 or $12,000 to start with for a stupid bottle of whiskey. And what is it you'll gain at the end of that, spending all that money? You'll become mad. That we can become mad in any case. Go out in Bombay, that's enough. Or try to walk on the streets of Bombay. Or get into that train to Calcutta. Then Krishna explains about the Avanti Brahman, which I am going to try and explain in 5 minutes. And then Sankhya philosophy. Because all this I had prepared for 4 hours or 3.5 hours. But I have to restrict myself. Then the process of deity worship is very, very important. Krishna tells Uddhav that the most easy way to go home back to Godhead is to have deity worship. This is the most important thing. Because you get attached to your own deity. Now if you get attached to deity, Krishna, then you get it. Everybody should have deity at home. I'm telling you. Chota mota, anything. But you have deity at home. Small or large. Okay? Even if you have no space, put the deity under your bed if you have to do. But have deities. Because if you are attached to your deities, you'll be attached to Krishna and you'll go home back to Godhead. That is there in the Uddhav Gita. Okay? That is a very, very vital point. And Prabhupada was not a fool. He was a brilliant person. I mean, today morning, we saw the one after one, the genius of Prabhupada. Prabhupada everywhere installed the best deities on earth, isn't it? I don't think there are any temples anywhere I have seen on earth better than deities. Of course, we fall in love with our own Radha Gopinath. But anywhere you go in ISKCON, I've been to almost every ISKCON temple. I've seen they have beautiful deities. You see? So this falling in love with your deities is the first step in falling in love with Krishna. If you don't have the first step, how are you going to have second step or getting to your final step? Your first step is, for heaven's sake, fall in love with Radha Gopinath and get your deities at home and fall in love with them. That is a sure way. That is what Krishna himself says to Uddhav, that this is the formula how to go home back to Godhead. Okay? Don't forget this formula after you leave this room. Huh? And don't be in a hurry to eat and go. So, everyone wants happiness. Now I must quickly in 10 minutes. My God, I have hardly any time. But let me see what best I can do. There was a very, 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 very beautiful woman. Okay? And she was a prostitute. Her name was Pingala. The name of that city was Vedehi. Vedehi is near Nagpur, what we call Central India. Of course, many beautiful women have come from there. One great princess there was Rukmini from Nagpur. So, but this is not Rukmini. We are opposite of Rukmini. So here is this lady, Pingala. Not lady, but a woman of the night. As mentioned here. So, she used to stand with all makeup and everything else. And she would focus on various men. That is basically the job of a prostitute. And she would wonder which man can give how much money. And that man only she will have association. Uske paas paisa nahi hai, nikal do laat maar ke. So, she would then sleep with that man. Gradually, she became very, very fed up of her life. You see? She realized that what am I doing standing on the street looking out for the rich man? Rich man, where is the rich man? This is crazy. I should stop this nonsense. Why did she think like that? Because one day she saw her face in the mirror. When she saw her face in the mirror and her body, in those days also they had mirror, they had very reflective metal sheet. She realized she was getting OLD. There were wrinkles coming, like the wrinkles I have. I'm an old man of 70 now. So there were wrinkles coming. Her skin was getting with patches. Her hair was also not as beautiful as it was when she was 20 years old. And so on and so forth. And she said, Bap re, now what will happen to me? These men will not be attracted. They will go for a younger woman. So what will be my position? What am I supposed to do in life now? And then she realizes that she has wasted her life. When you realize that, the first stage of self-realization. Lord Krishna explains to Uddhav, the first stage of self-realization is, I have wasted my life. I am chasing around money, in the case of women, men, in the case of men, chasing women, whatever. So, this is the shortcoming of this world, of this life. So, she got on the right path of self-realization. Who? This Pingala. Who tells whom? One Brahmin, Avadhut Brahmin, is telling the story. But Krishna is telling about this same matter to Uddhav. Uddhav ko bolte hain Krishna, ke remember, everybody gets old in this world. Somebody is 5 years, but old. 12 years, old. He's not 12 years young. 12 years old. 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 45, 50 years old. So this Pingala was getting old. And she started remembering her youth, her beauty, and she said, it's all gone now. So in disgust, she stopped being a prostitute. In disgust. And then she said, because she heard, this is most important, she heard that Krishna never gets old. Are bapre. See how a prostitute thinks. A prostitute thinks the epitome, the best thing is not to get old. Because her business is gone if she gets old. So she thinks that because Krishna doesn't get old, sara mere ko bhi aise banna hai. I want to be like Krishna. I want Krishna. You see? She got attached to Krishna by the negative route. Some people are on the positive route. And some people are on negative route. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Krishna is absolute. Krishna says, anyhow you come to me. Whichever way you want to come. Left hand, we drive on the left side, so right side of the road or left side of the road. You are going to go from Bombay to Pune, isn't it? Only there may be accident in Bombay if you go on the wrong side. But whatever it is, in some countries they drive on the other side of the road. It doesn't matter. You follow? The important thing is become self-realized. And the first stage of self-realization is what this prostitute teaches and what Krishna teaches Uddhav. Become self-realized. Get non-attached to your body. Because your body will age. That's the first stage of self-realization. Then, she says, I am in total illusion. That's the second stage of self-realization. Krishna tells Uddhav. Because I am coming to wrong conclusion, therefore I am getting illusioned. So if I am getting illusioned, all my conclusions are wrong. So I must study. I must ask. Therefore I need a spiritual master. You follow? If you are on a wrong path or an illusion, you need a spiritual master who knows. So he has to be a bona fide spiritual master. Then what does the spiritual master tell you? Give up the wrong service and take up spiritual service. Because if he's a spiritual master, he'll talk of spiritual service. If he's a material master, he'll tell you to do material service. Simple. If you are going to work for someone who's purely a materialistic man, he'll tell you to do material activities. And a spiritual master will only talk to you, distribute spiritual books. First thing, Prabhuji mentioned today morning in his class. Then first day we come, we were given books in our hand and we were to distribute these spiritual books. Of course, eat Krishna Prasad so that you can continue to do your service and so on and so forth. And then this lady says, I have senselessly tortured myself and my body. senselessly. Of course, you can imagine the poor thing. She was like a sex machine. So, I have senselessly tortured my body, she says. I misused my body. So, now let me at least, whatever is left of my body. And this is the best part. She realizes that the body is the house of Paramatma. The bones, she says, are like the columns and the trusses. You know, a house has got columns. Paya hota hai na? Like this, vertical, and then they are horizontal. So these bones are, some of the bones are horizontal, and some of the bones are vertical when you stand on your legs. So she realizes that these bones are like the trusses and the foundations of this vertical structure. And this skin of mine is like the wall, outside wall of the house. Isn't it? The skin gets worn and torn, outside wall also gets worn and torn. So, because she was so much into, she's a prostitute, yeah? That means the prostitute is only in the bodily concept, obviously. So, she started studying everything in the form of, point of view of the body. Because she was most familiar with not only her body, with so many other bodies. So, she thought of the bodies. All these bodies are all bones only. And skin and flesh and foul air. Then she realized that there are 9 ways, gates into this body and out of this body. She realized. Now, in the Bhagavatam, many of you remember in Canto number 4, chapter number 24, Puranjana is talking about these 9 gates. You remember? Everybody has read Bhagavatam, I'm sure. So, these 9 gates, she learns from her experience of the body. Self-realization, first step. So, this is why, even in the worst of example of this prostitute woman, now we have got a little 2 minutes I'll need. I'm going over time. The next is this Avadhut Brahmin is talking about, is about all people in this world have preferences due to their conditioning. I prefer this chocolate, or I prefer this ice cream, or I prefer rice, I don't want chapati. Because we have preferences, we have conditioning. If we do not have preferences, whatever comes on my plate, actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj used to mix all his prasadam together and eat it without distinction. It is better prasadam, it is not better prasadam. How can you have like that? Prasadam is Krishna, mercy. So everything is same. Okay. And to avoid untold frustration and sadness, you have to avoid making distinctions or preferences. Because some, even in the case of family, sometimes it happens. The mother loves the youngest child the most. Then immediately in the family there is jagada, problem. Oh, the elder son will feel, oh, my mother doesn't love me so much. Or the father loves the elder son so much. Then the boy will feel, my father is good, but my mother is not so good. You see, that happens. So, the moment you start distinguishing in that manner, you are in trouble. This is the first thing that the Avadhut Brahman teaches. Actually, there are 15 things on page 1 and 2 and 23 totally. Will I be able to cover it? I don't know. Do you want me to go on? Okay. All right. So, then the second thing is, this Avadhut Brahman one day was watching a hawk. Hawk, samasthai na? Eagle, geed. So, this geed had some meat in the mouth. Okay. That is his food. So, this thing was flying, this hawk. But then he saw there were 4 other hawks, big hawks, bigger than that one, swooping in on that smaller fellow. You see? So, he stopped and he said, let me watch what happens now. Let me see what happens now. And then this small hawk, smaller bird, saw these big 4 huge birds rushing. You can imagine these eagles can fly at very high speed, you know. And they were ready to tear him apart. Why? Because he had the food in the mouth. They didn't have any food in the mouth. Their stomachs were empty. His stomach was also empty. But then this hawk realized that if I give up this food, they will let me go and they will all dive after that food which will fall down. So the moment he opened his mouth, of course he didn't say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You say that and all the bad things will fall off. So the moment he dropped that meat, all those four hawks went after their meat and let him go. So he was saved for another day. So from that, the avdhut realized non-attachment to any form of food also is better sometimes. Go on a fast for one day. So that is why fasting is good for you. Okay, now clear, no? Because if you do not fast, you may be having trouble later on. So better to fast. Learn now only to fast so that you get trained how to fast in future in case you are in trouble. Okay. Then people in general become ensnared with family life. People want to be always with their own family members. They are constantly thinking of their family. And it is so designed, this family life, that you then forget about your benefit to your own soul. Because family life means body. Okay. Then you forget how to elevate your own soul. Today, right now, all of you are here. You are at the moment only interested in your own upliftment of your soul. But even sitting here, sometimes, you know, for a moment your mind may travel, oh, what my daughter is doing, what is my son doing, or my mother, or something like that. So for that few seconds, oh, beta, hey, why don't you go outside and play? You know, this is very nice. Once I was in British Airlines, and these two boys were fighting like mad in this British Airways. And the air hostess told them, take this ball and play outside. So, I feel like telling them also. Play outside, go, go. So, this is the third time I've told them. Next time I'll have to go up. So there we are. Then he gives the example of a young girl. This young girl, unfortunately, she was in a good family, in a wealthy family, but her parents died. And she wanted to get married. Okay. Then these suitors came. Suitors means those who wanted to marry her. So they come to her house. So she has to give something, you know, to these people. But while she was doing some work, trying to prepare something, there were too many bangles in her hand. And all these bangles were making too much noise. So she felt, this is now the Vedic times. We are talking Krishna and at that time, 5,000 years ago. So she thought that because my bangles are making a noise, these suitors will feel I don't have servants here. So they'll think ill of me. So she started breaking all the bangles and removing the bangles. And at the end, she kept only one bangle in each hand. From this, the avdhut Brahman realizes that family life is also like bangles. Too many members of a family in one house, there's bound to be clash. Banging into each other. Bangle making noise. We say, no, that too many vessels, pots in a kitchen, if they collide, they will make only noise and make arguments. So, avdhut realized that I better go away from my family life. And he, then that Brahmin left his family life. I'm not suggesting that all of you leave the family life now. You might be having devotees at home. Then that is better. Then they are good for you. But the fact of the matter is, Srila Prabhupada had that problem. If you read Prabhupada's Lila Amrit, his wife actually sold his own Bhagavatam, isn't it? And Bhagavad Gita. Huh? Translation of his Bhagavad Gita, she sold for some tea biscuits. She was so fond of tea and she was so fond of biscuits that she sold his own Bhagavad Gita. Can you imagine how hurt he must have been or how dejected or how unhappy he must have been? In fact, that was the last straw on the camel's back, as they say. And then he decided to leave. In fact, I just want to summarize the whole thing that we have learned today that whether you are old or young, your body is going to go down the chute, it will deteriorate. It just so happens that my very good friend Gaurang Prabhu's father has just died this afternoon at 12:25. And we are on our way, I think after this prasadam. You will be having prasadam joining, Prabhuji? Very good. I've got a car so that we can go together. And we feel that the greatness of Gaurang Prabhu is that he got his father and mother initiated at the last stage of their life, but still, because his father and mother were far away. Isn't it? His father and mother were in Madhya Pradesh, thousands of kilometers from Bombay. After all, India is also a big country like Brazil. And he brought them to the lotus feet of our Radhanath Swami, convinced them to take initiation just before they died even. Never mind. And the fact of the matter is that he is a putra and not a mutra. Putra means the son who gets his father and mother home back to Godhead. Mutra means mutra, urine. So what is the use? You see? So he has done his duty. The most important thing is, in the first part of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains to Arjun, do your duty as a kshatriya. Here, this was a brahmachari. So he has done his duty. Let us all vow today that we will make sure that our parents or those who depend on us, we take them home back to Godhead. Okay? We should not be a father. We should not be a mother. We should not be a king. We should not be what else? Teacher. Unless you can take those who depend on you home back to Godhead. And the way to take them home back to Godhead is to read Prabhupada's books, understand them and preach. Okay? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'm sorry there will not be much time question answer. Oh, there is. If you have your prasad, please. Will you have prasad? Can one of you organize? Prabhuji? Prabhuji ko prasad dila dijiye. And those who want to have prasad and go to the hospital, if there is room in my car, I'll take you in my car. It's a brand new Toyota Fortuner. It's a very comfortable big car. But some of you may have to be on the roof, like, you know, in Bihar, in the buses. But I don't know. So if you can, Prabhuji.
Should I go on the roof?
No, no, you don't go on the roof. I will go on the roof with you then, which I don't want. So you please have your prasad now, so that we can go. Nigama kalpataro galitam phalam. So this is a sign of a true Bhagavat, that he is enjoying Bhagavat and the Bhagavat Katha. So, but quite seriously, if you have any questions or comments, let's spend 5 more minutes on that. Anyone? Yes, please. Prabhuji has asked me highlight on deity worship. I can only talk about my own case. From that you can learn lesson. So when we got married, that is 45 years ago, my good wife and I, my wife's aunt, she gave us beautiful Radha Krishna deities of made of pure white marble. Being a Mayavadi at that time, I put the deities on the shelf, up in the attic. Means, up varo, I'm going to enjoy life. You see? But when I realized, Association of Devotees, reading Prabhupada's books. It took me a long time, about 7 years. By 75, I realized there was a mistake. And we started bringing the deities down. So we had to do pran pratistha. So the first stage of deity worship is pran pratistha. Pran means, you know, breath of life. Pratistha means establishment. So there are Vedic methods, then you have to be very serious deity worshipper. You can't just fool around. So then we install the deities, do certain abhisheks, mantras are read out, and we take a vow that we will treat you like our most important honored guest. In fact, everything belongs in our house to them, and we are actually his guests. So then there is a book. in our ISKCON. You'll get it downstairs in the bookshop. On deity worship only. In fact, our acharyas have given very nice step by step by step how to worship deities. But I must tell you something very interesting. I learned this lesson. The easiest deities, remember this, the easiest deities to worship are Jagannath deities. The reason is that we were building a bus. Thereafter, I made about 20-odd buses. So I was told that if we put Jagannath deities in the bus, then even if there is some fault or a flaw in our deity worship, because they are bound to be, because we are still new, and we are prone to make mistakes, isn't it? We get illusion, our senses are imperfect, we try to hide those mistakes, so we do all sorts of mischief, and of course, we are conditioned souls. So therefore, then Jagannath Ji is very kind. He doesn't mind. Even so, as a first step, like kindergarten school on deity worship, start with Jagannath deities. You know Jagannath Ji, Subhadra and Baladev deities? Yeah, hai kya nahi hai? Hai na? Photo hai. Jagannath Ji is right here. Right here. Anybody been to Jagannath Puri? Jagannath Puri gaye? So you all know. Okay. So get Jagannath deities as a first step. Anywhere in your house, in your office, in your... Even if you are a student in the hostel, no problem. Have Jagannath deities. Okay. And then ask one of the brahmacharis. Or you are already having a counselor. So you ask your counselor. We have a very good counselor system here. Yes, so best is to ask your counselor. Okay. Any other questions? Any comments? Okay. So since there are no comments or questions, Prasadam is waiting for you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.